Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Live. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score. Always appreciate you tuning in here, whether you're watching live, whether you're listening after the fact to the podcast, just the audio episode. That's fine too. We appreciate you all the same. And I put it out on my Twitter feed this week. One thing I want to mention before we get going here, I'm taking part in this charity auction and I'm trying to help raise money for the Oakville Milton Humane Society. And what I've given is you have a chance to bid on a one-on-one video call with me. So at some point in the season, we could set that up, talk about your team, ways you can improve your roster, some trades you can make, maybe how to set you up for the fantasy playoffs, or hey, we just hang out and crack jokes the whole time, whatever you want to do. But if you're interested, it's a silent auction. I've pinned the tweet at the top of my Twitter feed, so you can check that out. And if you want, you can bid. I think the bids are open until, I believe, the middle of next week. So check that out if you want. All right, let's dive into the show here. This week, I'm not going to talk that much about the Thursday nighter. Yes, D'Ernest Johnson absolutely went off, had a massive game there. You had Jarvis Landry get dinged up again. You had Odell Beckham in and out of the game. You had Donovan Peoples-Jones get hurt during warm-up. So just a ton of injuries. You also had Baker Mayfield out. And none of it really mattered because Johnson went off 24 touches, 168 yards from scrimmage, and a touchdown. Just a monster game there with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt sidelined. And Chubb, they're saying that Stefanski said he's pretty hopeful that Chubb will be back next week. There was some talk that maybe he could have been back for this game if it was on Sunday as opposed to Thursday. So I don't know how long that we can see these kind of performances from Johnson, but he definitely, with the way he played, he's going to slot into that number two role. We know in this offense, they like to use multiple backs. So it's a situation where we're probably not going to see Nick Chubb end up getting that kind of top five usage. Chubb's probably going to stay in a similar role, and then you'll have Johnson kind of eating into that a little bit. So we'll see if Chubb can go next week. I'm pretty hopeful. I have Chubb on a lot of teams, so I'm really crossing my fingers and hoping that he's going to be back for that one. But we got to monitor all these skill position players for the Browns right now because it feels like everybody on that team's hurt. You had Case Keenum playing for Baker, and Keenum wasn't too bad. I mean, a healthy Keenum is pretty much equivalent to an injured Baker. And when you look at this injury with Baker, we got a little more information from Jay Glazer last night that he's dealing with that torn labrum in the non-throwing shoulder, but he also has a fractured bone in that shoulder. So Mayfield's saying all the right things that, you know, he wants to be back for next week and we'll see if he can get out there, but I'd be kind of skeptical. I think that he might need a couple weeks off here to heal that one up, but we're just a few minutes into the show. We're just talking about injuries. Thankfully, this week, we've had some really bad weeks where I feel like I've spent the majority of the show running through all the injuries. This week, it's more of a regular week injury-wise, but let's get into the other important ones for week 8 here, and we'll kick it off with a guy I've gotten a ton of questions about, Antonio Gibson. So he's dealing with the shin issue. Last week, we saw his snaps go way down, played just 39% of the snaps for Washington. That's way below his normal usage. He's normally up in like the 55-65% range, so really was worried that he was having some sort of setback there. Maybe the injury was getting worse. The team clearly was worried too because they gave him an MRI on Monday, but he missed practice Wednesday. He was back out there Thursday. He's back out there today. Now it's limited, so it's no guarantee. They're calling him questionable. No guarantee he's going to play. Because of the lead up to all this, I didn't put him in my rankings update on Thursday, and now I'll probably have to put him back in there. Really, it seems like he's trending towards playing. Now, I don't know if that's the best move. I think that there's a strong chance that he could aggravate the injury, that he could make it worse, and it could cause him to miss way more time here. I think it would be smart with their bye week in week 9 to maybe sit him out, toss him on IR for 3 weeks, or just sit him out for a week or two here and let him fully heal up with that shin. But it doesn't seem to be the way that they're playing it, unless it's just a smokescreen and they're trying to confuse their opponent and they're going to have JD McKissick and Jared Patterson out there. But right now, if he's active, he's going to slot back into my rankings as a low-end RB2, and then McKissick will be that kind of flex play. I would still say to pick up Jared Patterson, though, because I don't think we've heard the end of this injury from Gibson, and I'm very scared that he's going to go out there and get more hurt this week, and then we're going to lose him for hopefully not the rest of the season, but we could lose him for a significant portion of time. And if he's out at any point, then McKissick would be the lead guy. Now, he's not a traditional lead back. He's not going to be a workhorse, but with the receiving ability, he's more than just a pass catching specialist. So he's a guy that would be an RB2 for fantasy. And then Patterson would move up into that flex range. Tyreek Hill, he's the other big one. Now, he missed practice Wednesday, Thursday. He's got a quad issue. I'm not panicking. He was back out there on Friday, reportedly. That came out right before we started here. So I'm still expecting him to play. If he doesn't, obviously, Mecole Hardman moves up into the wide receiver two range, and you could take dart throws on DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle. I wouldn't be that excited about Josh Gordon right now. I still think he needs some more time if he's even going to become a real part of this offense. So that would be the situation there, but I think Hill is going to play. Guy who's not going to play, Antonio Brown. We found that out this morning. He missed practice all week. He's been ruled out. He's dealing with an ankle injury. And it's weird because he was able to finish the game last week, but we know with these ankles, sometimes the adrenaline's flowing, and then after the game, they swell up. You find out the injury's a little worse. So wasn't able to practice at all this week. They have a million weapons, so they don't have to force it. It's kind of the same situation as Gronkowski. They don't really need to rush him back. They got so many guys on that offense that Brady can throw to so they can make sure that Gronk gets healthy. He's going to be out this week as well. But with Brown out, I mean, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, they're already up in that high-end wide receiver two range. Maybe they sneak into the low-end wide receiver one ranks. And then really the biggest beneficiary is probably Tyler Johnson. He'll step into those three receiver sets. And with Howard taking over for Gronk here and really coming on a little bit, he's a pretty good streamer. He could see some more work in that game too. AJ Brown, Julio Jones. So Brown has been DNP Wednesday, Thursday, listed as an illness. So I think all that is we thought that on Monday he might not play. There were some reports that he was dealing with that illness. I'm sure you've read about it. It was food poisoning. Turned out that he was able to play, and he actually played really well. So I think this week they're just giving him some extra time off. He had talked about he had lost some weight during that time with the food poisoning. So I think they're just giving him a little extra time here to get healthy. And I'm really excited about him. We saw the bounce back. He was a buy low for a couple weeks there. And finally, last week, he showed that he could be that wide receiver one for fantasy. Julio was kind of surprising because he aggravated the hamstring injury last week. And normally that means he's going to miss some time. Now, he still might, but he was back out there in a limited fashion on Thursday. We'll see what Friday's practice report holds for him. I haven't seen anything yet, but if he's not out there, then you know they tested it out on Thursday and it didn't really work out. If he's back to a limited practice on Friday, then probably a good chance that Julio will be out there. And I think it could be a really interesting game for that Titans pass offense going up against the Chiefs. But we'll talk more about that in a second. The Giants just continue to deal with so many injuries here. Sorry. Saquon Barkley, Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, they've all really been ruled out for the week. I don't know if it's official, but they haven't been practicing. They're not going to play. We have to monitor Sterling Shepard now because he did come back last week, but got downgraded to a limited session on Thursday with the hamstring, might have suffered a setback there. They said, Joe Judge said that they were going to put him out there and run him around a little bit today and see how he feels, but kind of concerned about him. And it's really unfortunate because in start, sit, stash, quit this week, he was going to be my featured receiver just with all those other injuries. Thought he was set up for a pretty nice game, but now I had to pivot and go in a different direction there. And there's so many other guys too that we're talking about on that offense that are hurt. Darius Slayton still trying to work his way back from a hamstring injury. Now, Joe Judge said that he was pretty optimistic that Slayton would be able to play this week. So he might come back and actually be the number one receiver in this offense. Evan Ingram downgraded Thursday with a calf issue. We don't know if he's going to play. John Ross, even we're going way down the depth chart. Now, John Ross was DNP to start the week, limited on Thursday. So really all we know right now, Devontae Booker is going to be out there. He's going to fill in for Saquon. Ross, we don't know about, but it could look like that receiving core could be some form of Slayton, Ross, and then maybe even Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis saw a ton of volume last week, 11 targets in that game, had five catches for 48 yards. They also have Colin Johnson at wideout, kind of that big-bodied outside guy. You might remember him from the Jags last year. He popped up a couple times fantasy-wise, but really, I think it's probably going to be Slayton, Ross, and then Pettis out there. And Kyle Rudolph, if Evan Ingram can't go, he'd step into the starting tight end role. Just really rough, really ugly for that Giants offense. So we'll touch on them a little more in the sit section. But spoiler, don't play Daniel Jones this week. Alex Collins, been asked a lot about him. We don't know much at this point because it's a Monday game. It's kind of a tricky situation because then Thursday practice is really like that first practice of the week. It's really like Wednesday for most other teams, which means that if somebody misses that practice, not that big of a deal. We can't really do too much with that information, but they've changed it. They announced that it was a groin injury, not a glute injury. That's a little bit more concerning here, I think, for him. And on top of the fact that Pete Carroll said he was going to be out there Thursday and then wasn't. And we know Pete Carroll, always the optimist. He said a lot of those same things about other guys. Chris Carson last week, he said Carson was going to practice. He didn't practice. So I'm a little worried about Collins now. And if he can't get back Friday, and I know Friday's kind of like the Thursday practice, but if he logs another day here where he's not practicing, I definitely start to make other plans. And that probably means Rashad Penny. He's expected back this week. He would probably step into that lead back role. He's somebody I talked about in the waiver wire column. And then outside of him, we're looking at DJ Dallas, Travis Homer. Those guys are the pass catching options there, but still a long way to go here because it's Monday. A lot of things could change and I'll update the rankings Sunday. Hopefully we hear something overnight Saturday, maybe get a little more information there and we'll know for certain for those decisions when we got to make them on Sunday morning. And also something we could talk about during the Twitter takeover on Sunday before kickoff. Latavius Murray. So he's been DNP all through the week here. Highly doubt that he's going to play. And the way I'm approaching that backfield, I think it's going to remain a three-man committee. They'll just activate Tyson Williams and he'll take over in there. Now, not take over in the sense that he's going to be the lead guy. Really, we don't know who's going to be the lead guy. It's probably going to be split pretty even. That's how they've been approaching it recently. If I had to choose, I would go with Devonta Freeman out of the three. He's more of like an RB3 flex. Really, he's been okay. He's looked all right as far as an older back. He seems like he's got a little bit of juice left. Le'Veon Bell, I would treat him as more of an RB4 flex. He does not look like he has that much left in the tank, and I would not be very excited. He's more of just a volume play. You got to hope that he gets a lot of touches. And then Williams would be a complete dart throw because I think he's the most talented of the three, really of the four. I think he's the guy with the most, but the coaching staff doesn't seem to trust him in all situations. So it really makes it tough to project how much work he's going to get. And it's really caused him to fall down the depth chart and be inactive two of the last 3 weeks. Devontae Parker. So back at practice, reportedly looking spry for what's that's worth. I mean, the beat writers saying that he's looking spry. Okay, great. That makes me a little hopeful for sure, but I don't really know exactly what that means in terms of whether he can play this week or not. Seems like he's trending towards playing. He's another guy that I had left out. He missed the last couple weeks here and, you know, started the week with a DNP, but then came back to limited practices. So he's a guy that if he's back out there, he would step right back in as kind of a flex option. It's a pretty nice matchup with that Falcons secondary. And really, I'd be playing all the Dolphins pass catchers. It's a pretty good one there against Atlanta. Dallas Goedert was activated from the COVID list. Now, he sat out Thursday's practice. He was back at practice on Friday. Should be good to go. And that makes him a pretty strong tight end one now that Zach Ertz is out of the picture there. Damian Williams, he's still on the COVID list. He can't be activated until Saturday. So we don't 100% know for sure that he's going to be able to play this week. And remember, he's a guy that actually opted out last year. So I don't know if there's any other issues or anything. We don't really have an update on him. But regardless, whether he plays or not, they're going up against that Bucs run defense. So I wouldn't really want to get involved with that Bears backfield at all there. And there's also been a report that Khalil Herbert's moving up the depth chart. So maybe he'll even pass Damian Williams. Who knows? But regardless, wouldn't want to play either of those guys this week against the Bucs. And then there's other guys like Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson. They're back to limited practices. Not really worried about them. The outlooks for T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, I don't think they're as optimistic. They've been held out of practice so far this week. I know Hilton said he was 50-50 to play in this one, but I would lean towards him and Watkins being inactive. So when you look at the Colts, you also have Paris Campbell out indefinitely. He just had surgery on his foot. Just awful. Going to miss more time. Really exciting young player, but career off to a really bad start here due to all the injuries. And it makes Zach Pascal a pretty intriguing flex option. Now, Pascal having a pretty good year the first 5 weeks of the season. Last week with T.Y. back, with Campbell playing before he got hurt, Pascal didn't get as much work in that game. But in the first 5 weeks of the season, Pascal was actually the wide receiver 35. So it was a wide receiver 3. Really, really sneaky play there. Not bad at all. He's a guy that I think you could stash or even with bye weeks potentially play this week. And then for the Ravens, if Watkins is out, I'd consider playing Rashad Bateman as a wide receiver 3 flex. I think he's really, really interesting. You know, got that first round draft capital backing him up and pretty nice usage in his debut last week. So should only go up from there. All right. That should cover us for the big injuries. You know, if you have anybody else, anyone I didn't talk about, it probably means that either I'm not that worried about them or they're so far down the list that I don't even think that, you know, you should be using them for fantasy, but there's a lot of deep leagues out there. There's a lot of bye weeks, injuries and stuff. So if you have somebody that you're concerned about, come find me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Ask me about them. I'll be happy to give you my thoughts, but let's keep moving forward here. Want to talk about my favorite start and my favorite sit this week. You know how this works by now. Start, sit, stash, quit. That column goes up on Friday mornings. You can check it out. I list four players that are starts at each position, four players that are sits at each position. I kind of feature one at each position and go in depth a little more on them. And then I toss out some players that I think you could be stashing, kind of getting ahead of your league mates. Grab them this week because they might be the guy next week that everybody's bidding on to try to get. So try to save yourself from some fob money, get them on your roster now. And, you know, whether you're playing them or just kind of sneaking them in there on your bench, I think they're guys that you could pick up, but you can go and check out the column for that. Either way, I'm going to go over my favorite start here, my favorite sit. And for the start, Chuba Hubbard is, I would say, my favorite start of the guys that I listed, but there's not much of a surprise there, right? He's a guy that's been getting a ton of usage going up against the Giants defense that they've just been crushed lately by running backs. I mean, the last 3 weeks alone, they've allowed four different running backs to go over 100 yards from scrimmage against them. So I think Chuba's going to have a great day there. So we'll find somebody more interesting. Let's go with Tannehill. We touched on the Titans passing attack a little bit earlier. They're going up against the Chiefs. I know some people have probably either banished Tannehill to their bench or maybe outright dropped him. But remember, last week he was playing the Bills on Monday night. And I know when a guy underperforms in a primetime game, people tend to overreact to that. The Bills' pass defense is pretty good, so I'm not going to fault him too much for that one. A pass defense that is not very good, the Chiefs, who he's playing, right? So they're ranked second worst in Football Outsiders pass defense DVOA. They've given up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year, including giving up 14 touchdowns to quarterbacks in the last 5 weeks alone here. So AJ Brown finally looking good last week. We'll see if Julio can play through that hamstring issue. Got my doubts, but either way, I think Tannehill is going to be a fine low-end QB1 this week, a really nice streamer. That game is the highest projected point total of the week by far, 57.5 points in that game. So there's going to be a lot of scoring. Derrick Henry can't get it all. I would be very happy playing Tannehill this week. And then for the sit, it's kind of a tie. Now you're getting bonus ones here. I'm giving you multiple, but Corey Davis going up against the Patriots. We know Belichick likes to take away your best option. The Jets don't have a lot of great options to choose from. In that first game, these two teams played in week two. Corey Davis, just a non-factor. He had five targets, only caught two balls for 8 yards. I would imagine that they're just going to terrorize Zach Wilson again. He had a ton of turnovers in that game. So really rough day coming for Davis and that Jets passing attack. And then Daniel Jones, who we already kind of spoiled there. And I know sometimes he can have a big 60-yard run and ends up finding the end zone on the ground or something, and he kind of salvages his fantasy day. But with all these injuries, and on top of all the skill position players we talked about, Andrew Thomas, his left tackle, is now on IR. So I would be very worried about Daniel Jones this week. I think there's much better options out there you could go for. But if you're curious about all the other guys that I listed in that start sit column, go check it out on the Score. Check out my Twitter account. I tweeted it out as well earlier this morning. All right, let's get to your questions. It's always my favorite part of the show here. At the potential, on a scale of 1 to 10, how furious should I be that Tim Patrick only put up 2 catches for 16 yards Thursday night, stashed him all year for this specific week, and then there's a laughing emoji there. At above the rim, 10-20, why did Tim Patrick have to do us like that? At hedge money, where's a good place to cry after starting Tim Patrick over D'Ernest Johnson? And at CMFNR6, is this the end of Tim Patrick? So there was actually more than that. A lot of people asking about Tim Patrick. Of course, I've talked about him every week for like a year and a half now in the waiver wire column. And listen, we could chalk this up to karma, really, that I've been telling you to play. And he's had all these great weeks. And then finally, okay, now there's all these bye weeks and all these injuries. And finally, people came around to playing him this week. And guess what? That's why he did you like that. I don't know. I mean, there's really no explanation. Sometimes receivers just have these bad outings. It's rare for a guy to be completely consistent. Even the top guys have some bad outings. And if we really look at the game, he almost caught a touchdown. He couldn't keep his feet in bounds. But if he had caught that touchdown, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So yes, he had a bad day, almost saved it with the touchdown there. But really, yeah, you're unhappy if you had him in your lineup this week. And now we have Jerry Jeudy probably coming back next week. So that means that Tim Patrick's going to be a pretty inconsistent option. He's taken advantage of Cortland Sutton being out last year, taking advantage of Judy missing early in the season here. Now he's going to go back to being the third in that offense. He'll still have some good games. He'll still find the end zone, but a guy that's going to be pretty hard to trust as a fantasy player in your lineup there. But yeah, unless you're in a dynasty league, I don't think you're really going to have to keep Patrick. Maybe you wait until you make sure that Judy's going to come back and we'll see. It really seemed like they were pretty optimistic that he was going to play, but yeah, it's a sad way to start the Q&A section here. Just talking about Tim Patrick, my guy really not performing. At N8 Perry, if Alex Collins doesn't play on Monday, which running back would you pivot to last minute in that Seahawks backfield? Got to be Rashad Penny, like I mentioned earlier, and he's risky. I mean, it's his first game back here, so not really a guy that I would lock in there and feel super confident about, but it would be him over DJ Dallas, who would be next, or Travis Homer. Those guys are pass-catching options. They could step up, especially if Penny, if we get news that either Penny's not going to play, or if, you know, Penny's going to be on some sort of snap count in the first game back or something like that, then maybe you look at DJ Dallas. But if Penny's playing and Collins isn't, Penny's the guy. At Colston Matt, should I try to sell high on DeAndre Hopkins with his low target share? I'm open to selling Hopkins, and I've talked about that on the show before. You could put some feelers out this week if you want and see what kind of offers you get back, or see people accepting the offers you're throwing out there. But just remember, this is a revenge game against the Texans, and there was a lot of bad blood there, it seemed. I feel like Hopkins is going to have a pretty good game this week. And we talked about revenge games on the Wednesday episode of the podcast. Everybody has different thoughts on those. They factor in for me a little bit. It's not something I'm going to make my decision on completely, but you can listen to that show if you want to hear a conversation about all that stuff, because there's a lot of revenge games this week. But whatever you do, don't put him on the trade block or listed as trade bait so everybody can see it. Just put some feelers out there. Look at some teams that need receiver help. See if you can get something from them and get a player in return that you really like. I would put those offers out, though. Yes, I think you could try to trade him. At Jacob_Soli, who do you feel is the best lotto ticket RB stash at this point in the season? Jared Patterson, Marlon Mack were the two that they listed there. Marlon Mack is pretty high on that list, I would say. And there's been all this talk now, whether it's the Colts trying to generate interest, whether these teams are actually interested or not, we don't know. But there has been a lot of talk, and it makes a lot of sense for them to move him to another team that has, you know, a need for running back. So it would be him. If we're talking about just straight up, you know, backups, high-end backups, insurance policy guys, yeah, it would be Alexander Mattison and Sony Michel, and we could list all those guys. We've talked about them before. But if we're going a little deeper, then yeah, Mac would be somebody that we'll see if he can get traded to a team where he's going to get more opportunity. And you never know what could happen, right? Like, there could be a team this week, a contender, that all of a sudden has an injury. Like, I know there's the list of four teams out there that were trying to get him, but that could change week to week. More injuries could happen. Somebody else could step up and make a deal for him. At WizDingo, with the NFL trade deadline approaching, do any of the rumors lead you to believe there will be a high upside player that materializes from trades? As someone who is stashing Mac, for instance, is there any way or any team that he has an RB1 ceiling for example? What about others? Yeah, same answer here. I mean, he's intriguing for fantasy. Mac is. I don't see an RB1 ceiling for him no matter where he goes. If he went to a really good spot, maybe he could be that RB2 kind of guy. I don't think he's going to step in somewhere and just be this dominant workhorse back on an offense. That would be very, very surprising. Like, if he went to a team like the 49ers, he'd enter the committee there, right? I don't think he would come in and just all of a sudden be this 20-touch player in their offense or anything like that. So we'll see if he can go somewhere with a decent opportunity. Probably still a long shot, though. Like, there's a reason why he was out there in so many leagues. You grab him. It's not really an expensive investment for you. Hold him for a week and we'll see where he ends up. Other than that, I mean, I don't think Ronald Jones is going to get traded. Bruce Arians kind of laughed that one off. There's talk that the Dolphins could move Devontae Parker or a Will Fuller. I mean, we'll see if that happens. Really would depend on the landing spot there, but Mac's the one that I have my eye on for sure. At Mike San, and then a ton of numbers after it. Hey, Justin, I traded Alvin Kamara, T. Higgins, and Tyler Higbee for CMC, Michael Thomas, and Darren Waller in a 10-team PPR. Did I make a good trade or a massive mistake? I'm 4-2 going into week 7. Thanks, Justin. Keep up the great work. You are welcome. This really depends on the state of your roster right now, because you are making a big play that you're not going to have some of these guys, right? Like CMC, Michael Thomas, they might not be back till week 10, could be even later. Like, we'll see. So that's something that could be a little worrisome. You might go on a losing streak here now if you don't have the depth to kind of pull that move off. If you do, if your team was very deep, then absolutely, that's a fantastic move. I just traded for CMC in a league yesterday, trying to, you know, stock up, and hopefully he can come back. And really, all you need is those 3 weeks in the fantasy playoffs. That's all that matters, right? You just want him to be healthy for that. They can keep him out of the lineup all the way until December. Doesn't matter. We just want him for the fantasy playoffs in that instance. So if you can survive without those three guys, then yeah, I think it's a great deal for you. In a 10-team league, you really want that high-end talent. So getting Darren Waller, who still top two, top three tight end, and getting CMC, who when he's healthy is the number one fantasy player out there, can give you the production of, you know, top five running back and a wide receiver too, all in the same week. I think it's a good move for you there. At T Gaither, and there's three R's at the end of that. Should CMC owners look into trading him considering his injury history and status? Once again, all depends on your current situation. If you're a contender, then no, I would hold. If you're a contender, then I think you just want to sit on that if you can get away with it. If you have a losing record in redraft, or if you're kind of approaching or unsure, if you're about to do a rebuild in Dynasty, and if you're unsure about a rebuild, you probably should just do the rebuild. You're probably trying to convince yourself you're still a contender, and you're probably not at that point, but absolutely would be the time to move on from them there if you have a losing record in redraft, or if you're about to start a rebuild in Dynasty. Other than that, if you have any chance of contending this year, I'd be holding. At Flip Cup Legend, nice name. That's a great handle. Am I insane for wanting to start Tua Tagovailoa over Jalen Hurts? Matchup this week is enticing. No, are you insane? No, I don't think you're insane at all. I mean, Tua over Hurts, I have them fairly close this week. They're both QB1s in my rankings, so I don't think that's insane. But Hurts has just been so consistent that I'm shocked that you're looking to get away from him. Like, no matter what the matchup has been this year, he scored over 20 fantasy points in every single game this season. So I would definitely stick with him, but no, I don't think you're insane for that at all. I'm going to try to speed this up a little here because I want to get through some more. At Dan Wins. Hi, Justin. Out of the following, who is most likely to be the future top three picks in redraft for years to come? DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, or Javonte Williams? Well, it's Taylor and Swift for sure. Those guys would lead the pack. Sort of a tier down, I would say Najee Harris has a really good shot to be in that mix as well. Some uncertainty about the Steelers offense, but if Big Ben goes away next year and they bring in somebody like, I know there's been some rumors, Aaron Rodgers or someone like that, maybe Matt Ryan, if they get another decent quarterback in there, that offense is going to keep humming. So Harris would be third, and then Gibson and Javonte wouldn't be far behind that. They're guys that have that potential if their teams are going to give them that big workload. We thought maybe this was the year for Gibson. Turns out it's not. Now he has the injury. Javonte, everybody's looking at 2022 as the year that Melvin Gordon will be out of the picture. Javonte Williams becomes that potential top 10 fantasy back. At Crewville 96, are we keeping the faith with Keenan Allen rest of season? I just traded for Keenan yesterday in a league, so that should tell you everything you need to know. I still believe in him for sure. At Mapaches Suriname. Hi, Justin. Thoughts on the situation with Deshaun Watson? I'm stashing Lance, but maybe rolling the dice with Watson is a smart move. Unless it's a keeper or dynasty league, I wouldn't get involved with Watson. I don't think that makes any sense. I have a hard time believing that he's going to play this year. So it would need to be a keeper or dynasty league for you to grab him and think that he's going to have some value for you. It'd be just stunning if he gets out there. If he came back, if a team traded for him, then I think the NFL steps in and puts him on the exempt list or something like that. I don't think he's going to get any starts this season. At @_Rajiv_V. Hey Boone, do you see Brandon Ayuk getting more involved in the offense following the 49ers bye? Looking to start him as a bye week filler, deciding between him or Rashad Bateman. This is it here. This is the week for Ayuk. I mean, coming back off the bye, George Kittle's out. If he doesn't get it going this week, then I think we could look at this and just say it's a lost season for Ayuk. I mean, I'm still hopeful. The talent's there. I'm still very hopeful that he's going to develop into a great NFL player. And I think what we're seeing from him, even on the limited targets and touches that he's getting, we're still seeing the player from last year. He's still a very talented player. Just something's going on with that 49ers coaching staff. I don't know. He's in the doghouse there, I guess. But I have Bateman ahead of him just by a couple spots this week in the rankings. So if you were picking there, it's kind of a coin flip. But I'd rather have Bateman at this point in redraft. At ICA 2476, injuries got me making Miles Gaskin, Michael Carter, AJ Dillon decisions. Could you trust any of them to be your RB2 the rest of the season? Or should I make a deal? Thanks. No, I'd be looking to make a deal. I don't really trust those guys. I think you could try to find somebody better for that RB2 spot. Now, Dillon, if there was a Aaron Jones injury, be a different story. Then he's fantastic, probably an RB1 for fantasy. But right now, all of them are just kind of that RB3 flex. Like, you can't really get them much higher than that. Maybe in the right matchup, but no, I wouldn't be trusting them. I'd be trying to make a deal for someone else. At Johnny underscore hashtags, tips to prevent tanking in longstanding keeper leagues. Well, there's a few things you could do for this, right? Like, I mean, the obvious one is you just make it into a draft lottery, and not a draft lottery with everyone, but you could do a draft lottery just amongst the teams that didn't make the playoffs. So then that way, there's not really that much of an advantage to tanking. You could also do something where you set it up where the draft order is based on expected points on the season and not just on points scored in your lineup. So that way, if people are trying to pull stars out of their lineup in order to really tank in their games and lose, it would still just measure the expected points for the week. So the best roster they could have put out there. That's another one. I mean, I like in a few leagues that I have, we have a weekly prize total. So you take something off the top, could be something small, even, you know, $10 or something like that each week for the high score overall. So it gives teams that are out of the playoffs still a shot to win their money back later in the season if they can make some good waiver wire pickups and, you know, kind of get a good roster together for 1 week. So that would be another one. Or, I mean, just do what they did on the league. You have the SACO, right? You have some sort of like punishment for the team that comes in last. And then that way, nobody wants to be the team that's tanking, right? Like, there was the one kind of got some notoriety, it was, you know, a couple months ago or whatever, when the guy was in the Waffle House, had to spend 24 hours in the Waffle House. Every waffle he ate took an hour off his time. So I think he ended up spending like 12 hours there, something like that. You know, something fun. It doesn't have to be an evil punishment. You don't need to really hurt anybody. You know, just do something fun that kind of puts one of your friends, your league mates out. And I think that's the best way to approach it, because it's supposed to be fun, right? And get creative with it. All right, that's it for today's show. Remember, you can find all my fantasy content on The Score. Download the app if you haven't already. All the content is designed to be on the mobile app. So yeah, you can check it out on the website, but it is so much better if you have the app on your phone or on your mobile device. And if you have more questions, come find me on Twitter. Like I said, I'll say the account again, at Justin Boone. You can ask me all the questions there. Check out that charity auction that I mentioned. That's pinned at the top of my Twitter feed. And then I hope you'll come join me on Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, on The Score's main Twitter account. I'm going to be taking it over and answering all your questions there, trying to help out with all those last minute lineup decisions that you're making before kickoff. But until then, big thanks for all the questions. Big thanks as always to Marcus. It was Marcus's day off today. He still came in and produced the show. Big thanks to him. Big thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.